Commissioners, questions or discussion?
So it's in the springtime. It's a very standard SRC meeting. This was the body that preceded the new school board. And usually at these meetings, I might get in trouble for saying this, they're a little bit boring. They're a little bit dry.
Right.
Before we consider resolutions, will you call the roll on the minutes?
And then at the end of the meeting, they just vote on a bunch of contracts, and no one says anything about any of them.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about like tons of contracts.
Resolutions is for education services resolutions. May I have a motion and a second to consider resolutions B1 through B23?
They're almost always nothing. But I'll like thumb through them anyways because I'm a reporter. And I saw one that caught my eye because it was kind of bizarre. The contract is really like a change order. It's basically saying like we budgeted this amount, but we need this amount more because we underestimated how much we needed for line item X. And this line item was a contract for taxi cabs. And my first thought was, why is the district giving money to taxi cab companies? And the other thought was, whoa, this contract is weird because they really, really underestimated how much money they needed for this.
Like by how much?
$15 million.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why, a narrative news show about your community. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Today, the $40,000 cab ride. As he just mentioned, WHYY education reporter Avi Wolfman-Aaron stumbled upon this story at a routine budget meeting. And the reporting that came out of that revealed this huge inefficiency in school spending on a service that lots of people hate, but they don't really have another option. Here's Avi.
It turns out the taxi cabs are to get kids to and from school. Some small number of kids in Philadelphia schools, a taxi cab picks them up and takes them to school and then back at the end of the day.
So Avi, to start to answer this question, you went to visit a young man who gets this cab service.
Yeah. His name is Kareem Bellamy.
Mom, it's time to leave, Mom. Well, it's time to
He's 20 years old. And his mom's name is
Roberta Bellamy.
Dad's name is Lenny, and they live in West Philadelphia in like a nice little row home. And every morning, a taxi cab, it's actually a van-style taxi cab, pulls up.
Go.
There's supposed to be an assistant inside and a driver. Kareem gets into the cab.
Bye-bye.
And they take him away to this special school in the suburbs that's for kids with autism.
Kareem and that's why Kareem gets this service.
Exactly. That's why Kareem gets this service. He needs to go to this specialized school. And so he used to ride the bus, actually, when he was younger. And there were all sorts of problems with it.
We would get phone calls. He was out of his seat. He maybe throwed something out the window. You know, he would be hollering or getting upset.
And then one day, they're driving near his house, actually, on the bus. And Kareem bolts out of his seat.
The bus driver literally had to pull the bus over.
He races to the back door of the bus where there's an emergency latch.
And he opened the back door.
He pulls the latch and tries to jump out of a moving bus.
And the aide was able to get a grip of him, grabbed his shoulder.
Luckily, an aide caught him right as he was about to jump out.
When the bus driver got here, he was so shooken up because he said, no one told me that this child gets out of his seat, this child does these things. And I said, for years, we have been letting them know of the unsafe situation.
Basically, that was the impetus to say, like, this child can't ride on a bus anymore. He needs to be in a much more secure setting. And so that's how the cab enters the equation.
So how have the cabs been for him? How does he do?
It's been a struggle for basically 8 years now.
Some drivers, I'm petrified. When he pulls off, I have to call the school and ask them, please just let me know that they got there.
The service has just been unreliable, always changing drivers.
No information about the person, no information about the assistant.
And it just seems kind of chaotic. Like, I was with them on one of the mornings, perchance. where like the cab was super late and it hadn't shown up the day before and they didn't know what was going on. And their recourse is to call this cab dispatcher, the same person you would call like if your cab wasn't at the airport when you wanted it to be.
Germantown Cab, we're currently on delay right now. We can't take any new orders.
No, this is not an order. I need to speak with someone pertaining to my son's school pickup.
And they're like, you know, they have the attitude and the urgency of a taxi cab dispatcher.
Okay, hold on.
And Montgomery County areas. And we take great pride.
I'm thinking all of a sudden of like Danny DeVito in Taxi.
Who yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who was the guy in the booth, right, that was like dispatching everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Go wait over there. I'll call your name and number. Till then, keep your mouth shut.
I mean, like, I've never been to one of these places, but like that's when I was listening to her conversation on the phone, I was like, this wouldn't inspire confidence if I was a parent trying to get my kid to school, especially a kid who has special needs.
He didn't go yesterday because we went through a bunch of issues of no one showing up, and then they sent in someone about 10 o'clock, and then he went to pick up the driver in Germantown. So my son didn't even go to school yesterday.
And so I heard those types of complaints from families, and I heard them also from attorneys. One of them is David Talheimer. He's a special education attorney.
It's not infrequent that we'll hear from parents that the conditions are unsafe. The drivers are unprofessional. The drivers might not speak English efficiently, so as to be able drivers to that load children in and out of the vehicles on busy streets from the traffic side, broken taillights, doors that don't open.
Anyone who works in this field, you're always hearing complaints about the taxi cab service.
And these cabs, just to be clear, they cost a lot more than sending a kid to school on a bus?
Yeah, a lot more. The average cab ride costs about $228 a day, according to the district. And there are 180 days in a standard school year. So you're talking about, $40,000 about every year just to get the kid to and from school. Not talking about how much it costs to pay for the school itself, the private school that Kareem goes to. Kareem also has an aide that rides with him. And that person costs about $17,500 a year. You add it all up, and the cost of getting a kid like Kareem to and from school is about $58,000 a year. And to give you an idea of how much that is, that's more than it costs to go to the most expensive undergraduate institution in the country.
So you had this big increase in the cab budget, and you were curious about it, but you weren't the only one who was curious about it.
Yeah, so when I asked the district, like, what's going on with this budget item, they basically said, like, we don't totally know what's going on. And the district's chief financial officer, Uri Monson, said,
our team started to look at it. We want to understand why things are changing.
I started asking questions on people, my own staff.
Office of Transportation, Office of Special Education, to understand why these numbers are growing so rapidly.
Budget items aren't supposed to balloon like that.
So we heard Kareem's story. Sounds like he really can't be without this service because of his diagnosis and some of his behaviors. What are some other reasons kids take cabs to school?
Yeah, so it could be a kid that needs to go to like a charter school all the way across the city.
Some special admit schools, but really it's the charter schools primarily.
There's no one else taking that route.
Philadelphia is oddly shaped.
And you don't want to, you know, A, pay for a bus for one kid.
So it's not a large group going from one area in the south of the city all the way to the northeast. You have one or two children.
Basically, logistics. Like, it's disability and it's logistics. Sometimes it's a combination of the two.
So that doesn't explain why the number is growing so fast. Is there any idea why that's happening?
The district couldn't pinpoint one reason.
There are a lot of different factors contributing to it.
One is that there are more special needs families who are turning to advocates, turning to attorneys. And so if there are more advocates and more attorneys, the families just have more power in the equation, and they might be able to get concessions from the district that they weren't able to get before. So that's one potential explanation.
Okay. And what's the other reason?
The other is just that there are more families making more choices.
I think to some extent what you're seeing is a microcosm of this breakdown of kind of the classic, what we think of as the classic neighborhood network system of schools.
There's just more choice. There's more selection. And so you have kids moving across this oddly shaped city in unpredictable patterns more and more and more.
So we have more special needs kids and more kids choosing to opt out of their neighborhood schools. Do these two groups have anything in common?
That's an interesting question. I think in a very large, big picture sense, yes. For a special needs kid, the federal law says that they are entitled to a free and appropriate public education.
If you do not have a disability, you do not really have a right to an education.
Maria Vetter is a special education advocate.
You have an education, but if you don't make progress or if the program's not appropriate for you, it's sort of you get what you get.
The only thing the law says is you've got to go to school. It doesn't say you have to make progress there. It doesn't say you have to do well. But what I've noticed in my reporting is that there is an increasing sense among parents that the school system should work for the individual, that it should bend to what the individual kid needs. And that goes to things like school choice. I'm going to choose where my kid goes to school based on what I think is going to work best for them. And so in some ways, you see sort of the mindset embedded in the special education law sort of seeping out into the entire parent psychology. And this idea of individual choice has its positives, but there are clear drawbacks from a system-wide perspective. You need to have patchwork solutions. A CAB is a patchwork solution, but it's sort of the only solution that works.
Avi, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Shai.
Avi reached out to several cab companies to comment on the issues his reporting uncovered, but none of them were willing to talk to him. It's worth mentioning that this past year, the school district mandated that all of the cab companies they contract with need to put drivers through the same training that school bus drivers go through. And that's it for today. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall and myself. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, and please don't forget to review us and rate us. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.